The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to Dr. Jaime Salas. Dr. Salas is an expert on oligonol. Oligonol is a new intriguing nutrient that we've discussed in part one. It is a polyphenol. And so welcome back, Dr. Salas. Now, there's additional information about oligonol that suggests that it may be helpful for weight, and it may be helpful for skin as well.
Yes, it's actually more that the more people we actually provide the supplement to, we're finding more and more uses for it. It also has, it's been shown that actually improve insulin sensitivity, and obviously with exercise, it's not like you're going to take a capsule and sit on your couch, right, and eat potato chips. It's, you know, you have to have an active lifestyle. But it helps with that central adiposity, and that. And now we know that there's depends on where your fat is in your body. It can actually be worse than in other parts, usually central adiposity or the belly fat. It's more metabolically active or worse for your health than if you have like a thigh fat or you know, you have fat over elsewhere in your body.
That's sort of the apple versus pear theory, right? You know, if you're an apple, you're worse off than if you're a pear. You know, you've got those curvaceous thighs.
In my office, we try to like treat everybody the same. Doesn't matter what shape you are. We try to have less percent of fat as possible. But now medicine and science has shown that an apple shape is actually very bad for you, especially those big belly men that predisposes to insulin resistance. That insulin resistance actually creates fluid retention and then goes into diabetes and hypertension and so forth. So oligonol has been shown to do two things, actually deal with that insulin resistance. So basically you utilize sugar better. And with exercise, you can actually decrease some of the belly fat and also can actually help the body use triglycerides, which is the most abundant fat in the liver. So it can help in those two ways, improve your lipid panel. And actually, if you're an insulin dependent or if you're diabetic type 2, it can actually help you a little bit with that insulin dependency that you might have.
So it's not something that sort of automatically melts the pounds off, but it may help with one of the ways where the body retains fat, the insulin
Correct.
Resistance mechanism. There's probably a lot of other mechanisms that keep people fat, including excess food and sedentary lifestyle.
When I deal with overweight patients, it's a matter of like there's no magic bullet. But again, going back to your theme, is just being intelligent about it. What can I do with limited resources and limited time in my life that actually can maximize benefit? And with oligonol, actually, you can, with, you know, changes in diet and proper exercise, meaning walking every day, 30, 35 minutes, you know, if you lose 5 to 10% of your body fat or your pounds, there's significant metabolic improvement in both hypertension, diabetes, your lipid panel, and the way you feel. So, you know, if somebody were to say, I'm going to take 10% of my weight out, that can actually help so much metabolically to a patient that it's worth, you know, adding to your regimen the oligonol.
Indeed. So what about claims that it may help cosmetically, that this has an impact on skin, even wrinkles? You know, I guess that you could make the case that people who are subject to a high level of free radicals get more wrinkles. It's been demonstrated that smokers, for example, have more wrinkles. And you know, I can almost do a little facial diagnosis when I, you know, sit in the subway and I look at people's faces. I got, you know, kind of got nothing else to do. And you can kind of separate the smokers out from the crowd. You see more wrinkles, especially around the mouth. So is that how oligonol works on the skin?
Well, with the skin, basically, oligonol, like we're talking about Raynaud's phenomenon, it increases circulation, the microvasculature, meaning those little capillaries, those little venules, those little pieces of tubing that take blood in and out of distal parts of your body. cleaning the skin, right? When you smoke, usually each cigarette will actually deprive your skin of around 20 minutes of oxygen. So nicotine constricts your vessels. If it constricts a big vessel, blood is still going to flow through because it's a big vessel. But if you constrict those little distal capillaries, they're going to constrict to a point that actually you can impede blood flow and oxygen going there. So what happens to any tissue when you impede blood flow with oxygen nutrients? It dies. And that kind of wrinkle is basically you're suffering ischemia from the skin. If you see the actual improvement in circulation with Ligonol, then you can actually piece together why it can help with skin and how it looks and everything, because you're nourishing distal capillaries and distal venules in a better way with the Ligonol. So in that way, it can actually help improve your skin nourishment, to say the least. If you have good nourished your skin, it will translate with time with like good appearance and good, you know, and good visual appearance with the skin, that it can actually erode and take out all the wrinkles with age and trauma and everything that we go through life. Obviously, no, but it's something that, you know, obviously you want to help to keep nourishing your skin. And that's why smokers, like you say, the puffed lips, have you seen the lips and the wrinkles and everything? Like myself, you know, if somebody was a smoker is a smoker after seeing so many with those telltale signs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you're a smoker, you have to be aware that you're actually depriving your skin of oxygen. And it's those little venules that actually go shut for a little bit. And with a cigarette, and you shut down your venules for, you know, 5 minutes here, 20 there, at the end of the day, you're depriving your skin of oxygen. Imagine depriving your heart of oxygen to die. But in your skin, it just gets old and wrinkly and, you know, and sad looking. So
indeed,
that's more or less the way it works in that way.
So the questions may come up from listeners. What's been the safety profile of Ligonol? Is it any possible downsides to taking Ligonol? Is Ligonol for everyone? Is it a blood thinner? Can it be taken with other medications? Are there some incompatibilities? What's the story?
Well, the FDA in 2014 gave the last approval. It's called generally safe, right? In a way to take with almost anything. The first thing that everyone needs to know is to actually ask your physician before taking any supplements with your medication, especially people who are taking blood thinners and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been shown any interaction, but obviously, as a physician, I would like to know what the patients are taking. I welcome patients to tell me what they want, and I look for literatures and studies and look for material that I can actually read on what they're asking me to see if it's good or bad. So I think the trend on younger physicians is that we're more open for patients to bring us, you know, concerns, or I heard this or heard the other thing. But in a sense, you know, if you're trying to start a new regimen of whatever thing, I think you should always, as a courtesy, tell your physician first. You never know.
That's a good policy.
He might know something that you don't.
Yeah, no, that's
so
a good policy.
I'm very open. Your doctor is your friend. He wants to help you out. And sometimes we don't know everything, but we might know one specific detail that can actually answer the question yes or no. So for listeners there, if you're going to start aspirin, if you're going to start any kind of supplement, if you're going to start anything you see on TV, listen to your radio, first is to read about it and get educated. And second, just ask your doctor, look, I heard this, that it's very good. What do you think about it? All good doctors are going to look for what that is and try to answer the question, like I do with my patients. Sometimes I have to be honest. They bring me names that I have no clue what they are.
Yeah,
when I
too.
Look at the ingredients, oh, yes, now I know what it is. Sometimes they have weird names, right? But when you look at the basics of what they're bringing you, you kind of identify each one. And then you can explain to the patient, look, you can take it, but, you know, you have to be careful with this and this and this. Something so simple as grapefruit, you know. A lot of people eat grapefruit and they take medication and interact. People think, you know, it's a fruit, nothing's going to happen. So first tell your doctor, but the FDA approved it as a generally safe supplement to take. So in that sense, you know, it's pretty safe for the average individual. I give it as early as 14 years of age for athletes that I treat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that many, you know, like very senior patients in their 90s. I have a few 70s that do triathlons.
Hmm.
They're in the greatest shape, and I give it to them with no issues. And actually, I've seen them improve in their time, improve in their quality of life with it. So in my experience, it's generally safe. But taken, if you decide to take it, tell your doctor you're taking it, because you know, as a doctor myself, I like to know what the patients are doing here and there. So, in another part, for people under 14, obviously I'm not a pediatrician, I don't have an experience, but at least for 14s and above, I've been giving it with no issue, and I haven't had any allergic reactions, quote unquote, to it. In that sense, some people, yes, they take a lot of supplements. What happens is they complain about some reflux.
Sure.
And then it's hard to see
supplement
which kind
overload.
Of supplements you're taking.
Yeah.
Some people,
it's just the sheer mass of supplements
they're
taking. Yeah. And that's not
correct.
The fault of one particular supplement. It's just that you're just getting overloaded with the digestive burden of too many pills.
Correct. And the good thing about your doctor nowadays, well, when I studied medicine, nutrition was kind of breezed through, I don't know, your time. They kind of gave us a few hours in nutrition and then on with disease. Now, the whole interest in nutrition is obviously I live for this. I do nutrition. I do athletes. So I've been very well versed in the nutrition part. The good thing is, if you tell your doctor what you're taking, he can actually arrange when to take what. If, let's say you're going to take 10 vitamins. He can say, look, you don't need to take this every day. You can take it every other day because it's lipid-soluble or whatever, for whatever reason it is, right? And I think that's something you can actually work with your doctor now because we're more informed, we read more, and we can actually help patients decide on what supplements and what order to take. And again, being intelligent medicine, trying to figure out a way to maximize our benefits with what we're taking.
So I'm intrigued by your practice. Your practice is based in Puerto Rico, but you also have offices stateside in Florida, correct?
Yes, I do a lot of professional amateur athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with their nutrition and their hormones and basically their recovery. Okay. So that's why I'm so into the nutrition part, because I need, obviously I'm dealing with high endurance athletes, triathlons, marathons, cyclists. So I need to make sure they're healthy. And if they actually improve in their recovery, usually they're less prone to injury. So I have to make sure that my minimize any injury that my athletes can have because overstressed, overtraining. So I have 60% athletes, 40%, what I call my general population. Sometimes it varies. But I enjoy it because I can see the most extreme of human performances, and that's something that actually motivates me to keep on going what I do.
Well, that's great. That's an entirely different subject, and perhaps a future day we can do an entire podcast on the subject of sports nutrition, what's real and what's hype,
sure.
Because I think that's something that's right up your alley, you working with high-performance athletes, and there's so many things out there, and there's so many myths about sports supplements, and we're all looking for that magical performance edge, and some of these things are legit, and some of them are not, and some of them are frankly toxic, so we have to differentiate.
I tell my patients one word, is consistency. Doesn't matter if you're a normal patient, like day-to-day like myself, or an athlete, it's consistency. If you, let's say you decide oligonol is going to help you out, you have to be consistent because, I don't know with you, doctor, at least some patients, jump from one week to the other one with different things, and they bring me bottles on end, they never finished. The thing about supplementation versus medication, even some medications, it requires some time, and it's good to be well-informed of what to expect from what you're taking, from whoever's giving it to you, so you can have an idea what the realistic expectations are. If you take Centroid for thyroid, it can take up to 4 weeks to get to adequate levels in the blood. If you take any supplements, it can take a few weeks to actually achieve the levels that you want. So, I try to tell patients consistency in life, it's going to take you farther than anything else.
Indeed. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine Call to Action? First, tell us a little bit about resources for oligonol. Where can people learn more?
You can go to Quality of Life, and then it's QOL.us, and then you can get a lot of very interesting information from there. I changed my site, which is www.nancyshape.me. I have a lot of other information for supplementation too for athletes, and I bring oligonol every so often for specific cases, so you can get some information from that. But I think from the oligonol part, the QOL.us site has a lot of resources that you can go into and learn a little bit of oligonol. And if you want to branch out, obviously oligonol is an antioxidant, a polyphenol. So if you want to read a little bit of the antioxidation in clinical trials, you can more or less what all the antioxidants in generally do, and then you can read about a little oligano, what it does, and then you can know how oligano has been able to pinpoint specific treatment areas that maybe are missed by the whole antioxidant family in that sense.
So it's QOL,
QOL.us.
And then for you and your practice, because I think some of our listeners may be intrigued because they're high-performance athletes. I certainly am, and I want to learn more. N-Shape, that's N
shape,
as
like
in
shape,
Nancy.
Like
right, at N-Shape, N-S-H-A-P-E.me. The domain name is not .com, it's .me. And that's where you'll find
correct
out more about Dr. Salas's practice, where muscle performance, sports performance evaluations are performed. He also, I think part of this is some athletes benefit from proper hormone balancing, certainly nutritional support, and that's where you can find out about the services. And by the way, available to New York residents, New York residents as well, correct?
Correct, yes. And the good thing about what you mentioned about hormones, when you do treat, you know, an andropause or menopause woman or men, and they're in their 50s, and you can actually use oligonal exercise and different other things to make them lose some belly fat, their hormones improved. Because they've shown that the more belly fat you have or the more obese you have hormonal dysfunction. So it's interesting when you actually combine everything, how everything works together hand by hand. So, you know, we come to a point that there's no specific pinpoint in the human body. Everything is intermingled, and we're learning more and more how all the cascades and chemical reactions actually go one next to the other one. So in that sense, I think in the next 10 years, we're going to know so much about how the interrelations of different chemical processes go about that we're going to be able to keep pinpointing and developing new products and new ways of seeing the human body.
And more 40 is the new 25, and 70 is the new 50, and on it goes, because we're really extending the threshold of physical performance and mental performance for adults due to our technology and our knowledge about nutrition and correct supplementation and hormone balancing. So that's what you're all about. Good stuff.
Dr. Huffman, you and I will be running when we're 100, so don't worry.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, I'm that's my goal. I'm a science fair project of one, and I think I'm going to put oligonol into my program and see if that even extends further my endurance threshold. That sounds great. All right, thank you very much for your practical explanation of this new supplement, oligonol, and all the best to you, Dr. Jaime Salas.
And thanks
for joining
us.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.